Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I want to be sure that everybody is blessed and happy. Amen. Welcome today to the School of Prayer again. Please, can you just greet your neighbor? Tell the person, welcome to the School of Prayer. All right. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's take our declaration of understanding because we are going to start a series of teachings today so that we can have insight and be able to follow. Amen? All right, I want to let's go now. I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's sit down. Let's start to teach. I believe we all have our Bibles. Like I said, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to do some teaching, a short series of teachings, just to reestablish for us some important things in understanding about prayer. There was a time the Lord told a parable. To the end, the Bible says that they will understand that they ought always to pray and not to faint or get tired of praying. And many years ago, I was inspired by the Spirit to start teaching a lot on prayer, okay? And one thing that you find a lot in Christianity is that many times some things are popular, they are spoken much about, but I'm sorry to say, people don't have a good understanding of what they are doing, all right? Like, you know, there's a small, something I'm writing. And the way I started is I said, if people understood what prayer was, it is show in their attitude. That many times people are praying, they don't realize they're actually talking to somebody. Now, there are prayer-like activities, okay, in this life. Sometimes things will grip you, or there are times you take authority. Now, the volume of your voice is not important, but the emotion just triggers that shout, okay? But generally, if you understand what prayer is, in which you are talking, you are making your petition two places. One, you are making your petition or your request of the Father. And number two, you are making your petitions before the judge. All right? Those are the two things that constitute prayer. Of course, both, whether it's the judge or the Father, you are talking to God. You understand? God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are times He sits in a position as a judge. You approach Him on that basis. There are times you approach Him on the basis of being a father. I think you should use more of the father one anyway. Okay, but whichever one, there's a way you comport yourself. There's a way you make your request. There's a way you make your petition. It does not include many of the things that we do as a habit. Please, I'm not trying to be critical, all right? But this is a fact. I'm not trying to be critical at all. But generally, all right, you tend to be composed. You don't scream anyhow. You don't even run up and down. You don't. It's just, you see, it's a reflex thing. You know, has this ever happened to you before? I know maybe over time our training may change. Okay. Once when I was young, watched a television program, a drama on TV. And one man, the boss called the office, and one guy picked the phone. Hello? When he heard the boss's voice, you know what he did? He was frustrated. Good morning, sir. And you know what? We laugh. We all laugh because we're watching TV. Until one day I went to visit a family. Okay? I traveled. Family, friends. So, everybody greeted me. How about you? And I wasn't a small boy anymore. I'd grown quite a bit. I think I was even in university. So, then their father called at that time. He wasn't at home. So, the man mentioned that, oh, daddy's on the line. So, I come and greet daddy. I picked the phone. I had finished bowing fully before I realized. It was reflex. I didn't think about it. I'd already gone. Before I realized, hey, the man is on the phone. He can't see me. But his voice commanded the respect. Now, to tell you how funny it was, I remember this story. What I'm telling you is not 20, what is 20 years? It's closer to 40 years than 30 years. Because once I heard his voice, it reflects, until now, you know that, at least this one is like that with me. If I'm calling my senior, I can't lie down. I tend to sit up because it reflects in your voice. Especially if somebody that's very formal, I need to talk to, all right, in a formal note. No matter how much I try to relax and talk, come on, the body will get up. It will get up. Now, this one I want to say is very funny. Have you ever felt like going to dress up? If you are not appropriately clothed, there's this reflex, you just want to grab something and dress properly. Now, it's reflex, just in the mind. Once you hear a voice, you are getting what I'm trying to say? Now, that's how it is with prayer also. I believe if we are fully conscious of who we are dealing with, it will affect some of the things we do. It will. It will. Including how we comport ourselves physically. A lot of the noise we make, I'm sorry to use the word noise, but that's what it is. A lot of the noise we make, we'll find that it's not necessary. If we become fully conscious of what prayer really is. When you are taking authority on a matter, it's correct, I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's not what the Bible calls prayer. I call that a prayer-like activity. Do you understand? But when you are talking to the Lord, when you are laying your petitions down before the judge, making your request of the Father, if people are aware of that's what they are doing, it will affect how they comport themselves exceedingly. Some of the actions we take, I told you that day, I saw some things people are doing every day and they call it prayer. I called one of my children and said, please don't ever let me see either you or any of your siblings involving yourselves in this activity. I'm sorry to say, you can't just be playing music for 2 hours and be knocking your head up and down and tell me you are praying. See, we are not Hindus. I'll say clearly, we are not Hindus. You want to know what we are? We are disciples of Christ, Christians. We are disciples of Christ, Christians. There are some habits that I don't find any foundation for in Scripture. But people keep on copying them because that's how it is done. It becomes like a Pentecostal habit. I personally believe that, let me leave that. The Lord is good. So I want to just do some foundation teaching again this period. What I want to teach about is titled The Prayer of Faith. This time I have a title for it. What did I call it? The Prayer of Faith. All right, Book of James, chapter 5. I'll read from verse 13. James said, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, King James says, the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. Please, I was reading this and I noticed the way James said it emphatically, that the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. Did you notice that? He was emphatic about it. He said, the prayer offered in faith will restore the one, or will save the one that is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. He said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray one for another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective supplication, he says, of a righteous man can accomplish much. Let me just quickly read this in the Amplified Bible, classic. Just want to read that because we're going to refer to it. It says in verse 16, right? Yes. It said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. That is, it is dynamic in its working. Two words I want there. Heartfelt and continued prayer of a righteous man. Now, please bear that in mind. But let me just continue reading. Then he talked about Elijah. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Please, let me just explain some things to us. You know, please, this is just to try and balance some things. There are different kinds of prayer. We can just talk about, let's just talk about it simply. What kind of prayers do you have? Just give me one. Thanksgiving is a kind of prayer. Confession is not a prayer. It's a prayer-like activity. You know, in prayer, you are talking to God. Uh-huh. Which one do I choose now? Supplication, petition. All right, let's take them together. Then intercession, we are making requests of God for somebody else. Then we'll talk about, what else? We'll talk about praise, right? We talk about consecration. Did anybody mention consecration? Yeah, consecration is a kind of prayer. Very important one. Very, very important. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's a kind of prayer. Intercession is a kind of prayer. Praise, all of that. Those are kinds of prayer. Now, there's what I call aids to prayer, okay? Things like agreement, all right? Prayer of agreement is an aid to prayer. For example, if there's something in my home, it is important that my wife does not pray about it. At one time, I pray about it another time. You know why? We'll be asking the Lord for two things, two totally different things that are opposing each other. So I say, Lord, please, let rain fall tomorrow morning so everywhere will be cool. And my wife is praying, say, dear Lord, you know we need to set out our equipment outside. Let rain not fall tomorrow morning. Now, there's a problem. So the Lord looks at it, hey, what's going on with these two people in this house? A house that is divided against itself cannot stand. So even the ceremony we are planning will now collapse simply because it cannot stand. We are divided. So agreement, therefore, it's important. Please let me recommend again my book, Let Us Agree. 2027 is coming again. Small digression. Am I allowed to go there? I know you can't say no, but I need your permission. Should I go there?
Yes.
Good. But I promise you, it won't be more than 4 minutes. All right? Time me. You? Time. Once it's 3 minutes, give me a sign. Okay? I wrote a book before last election. The book is still on our website. It is titled Let Us Agree. Please, if the church in Nigeria wants to have power politically, go and read that book. Now, not the book, it's the doctrine that's the issue. If the church in Nigeria wants to have power politically, they must have agreement. Please, it is not possible. There's no way you want to do it. Now, we have how many leading political parties now? We already know them. There are three, right? No, four. Four. Okay? Yeah, there are four now. PDP is still a party. What's your problem? The guy has forgotten that PDP is a party and it exists. I know you forgot. Confess. You forgot. So we have APC, we have PDP, we have ADC, we have NDC. You have another one to add to it? It is not possible to have all Christians in the same political party. It is not possible for all Christians to want the same person. It's not possible. No matter how good you think one person is, no matter how much you admire the person, I may be smiling with you, I don't like him. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. It is not possible, brethren, for us to all agree on one candidate. It's just not possible. Practically impossible. Last time, and I wrote in the book, I don't know whether I listed their names, but last time, one particular Christian, a pastor, that we loved, almost all of us in Nigeria loved him. A few people have issues against him, but that's how life is, all right? Was our vice president. Do you remember? Then. Uh-huh. And he was in a party. He didn't leave that party. There another party, no point mentioning it, but the man is not a vice presidential candidate to somebody. Let's not mention. His own vice presidential candidate at that time was a bishop in Lagos. Do you remember that? So one party had a bishop as a VP. Another one had a pastor as a running. It was a candidate. It was no longer, it didn't win the primaries anyway, but it was in that party. And we could mention all over the place. There were Christians everywhere. It was not possible for all of us to agree. Even though we felt, most people felt one candidate was the most like, that's one Christians wanted the most because they said he's a Christian, the others are not Christians. Only God knows who is a Christian. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. After all, whether you like it or not, the current president, his wife is an ordained pastor. So all those talk that we talk, they are not necessary. The point is that I said then, it is definitely not possible for all of us to agree, no matter how much. I remember the day before the election, one brother said, hey, there's only one candidate that every Christian must vote for. I felt like going, boy, who told you that? Who told you? You just assume. Because there are Christians that disagree with you. And they won't say anything because they know you might shoot them. I said, but there's some... Now, so for that reason, we cannot, not practically in Nigeria, agree on one candidate. In fact, there was some particular American minister I subscribed to his email. This thing happened all over the world, all right? In his own place, they were having... Then Mitt Romney was running as a candidate against Barack Obama, all right? And many of you know my opinion of Barack Obama, all right? You know my opinion. And if you don't know my opinion, you can come and ask me after what I think of Barack Obama, okay? Especially that second tenure. The man had done things that made me, have a particular opinion of him. Let me just say it like that. So, okay, this is where I was going. If I had to vote, I wouldn't vote for Obama at that time. But this man, I used to subscribe to his newsletter, read what the preaching. Every day he bombarded all of us with newsletters, that with writings on why the Republican candidate was the best candidate. Now, this is the interesting part. By the time Mitt Romney won, of course, initially it was just Republican. By the time Mitt Romney won the primaries, all right, he now began to explain to us why Mormons are good people. Now, is that shifting goalpost I don't like? Okay? Mitt Romney is a Mormon. You know what they call a Mormon? Some people don't know what a Mormon is. This woman is shaking his head. Jonah, your guy does not know who a Mormon is. Anyway, there are these people that call themselves the church, not your own Jesus Christ. Their own is the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Not your own saints, all right? They have two books. They have the Book of the Mormons, which Joseph Smith claimed that he saw a golden scroll plate. Only him saw it. Only him transcribed. Nobody else saw it. We thank God for his life, okay? Yeah, they control a particular state in America. So Mitt Romney is one of them. You can go and read about the Mormons, okay? They have a few temples in Nigeria. Yeah, so that's Mormon. Anyway, Mitt Romney is a Mormon. So this man started telling us how good Mormons actually are. I'm like, Oga, this is new doctrine. This doctrine just came because of election. And I felt so bad about it. After I read so many political emails, and somebody was supposed to teach the word of God and giving us what the Lord is saying, I finally had to painfully unsubscribe from their email. And I've not even subscribed back since. I just got tired. As everybody is telling you that, I was not in support of Barack Obama. So it was not a political persuasion. I just felt, when it comes to politics, be careful if you're a preacher. Let me just add that one for preachers. Be very careful. When you mount this pulpit, leave it out. Which side do we take? Now, this is what I wrote in the book. Please go and download the book. Let us agree. What I wrote is that you cannot force Christians to support one candidate. You can't force all of us to be in one political party. But, I mean, you can be in church. Of course, I know guys here. There's somebody at the back here whose name I shall not mention. I like telling his story, all right? Because while I watched, this guy has moved from one party to another. And many of the parties he moved in, he was not even planning to move. One day he went to see a big man. Now, listen, he was in, what's your party that time? Was that APGA or Labour Party? It was in APGA. Then he went to see the chairman of his local government because he had some jobs he was doing for the man. The man had been very busy, and the man was a PDP man. So he said, sir, I've come. He said, oh boy, we can't talk now. We are going for a campaign. Okay, enter the car. We'll talk in the car. So he jumped into the vehicle with the, and went for campaign. And the man looked and said, you don't have shit. He gave me a right there, they gave him a PDP shirt. When he left his house, it was in APGA. By 12 noon, it was in PDP. They just gave him a PDP shirt, and he had to wait. And by the time they finished photographing him, even APGA would reject him for anti-party activities. What I'm going to say is that, meanwhile, some of us here were in Labour Party. Some were in APC. and all of us come to worship together. Now, let me ask you a question. Should we be able to worship together?
Yes.
Thank you. I like the way that yes came with conviction from everybody, including the brother that started in Abga in the morning, and by noon, he was in PDP. He should still be able to worship with us. Why? Because our base of agreement is something else. We can all agree on justice. We can agree on certain principles. The gospel has to be free. There has to be prosperity. Whoever God will put in power should be somebody that he will, through him, he will be able to do all of this. We can easily agree on that. Then we can start disagreeing on small, small things. Like, no, this man talks like this. I don't like it. This man, those are shallow things. Being all in 4 or 5 different political parties, we can join our hands during the meeting, just like now, when our brother Jonathan was leading the prayer. Okay? He said, let us pray for our country. All right? We can agree on that. I was still listening to, you know, online, the prayer last week, when Elder John was saying, let us pray away the counsel of Ahithophel. Let us turn to foolishness. Do you understand my point? We cannot, even if your person is in cabinet, you can pray that God, every counsel that is Ahithophelic should sound like foolishness in the ear of the president, in the ear of the people that are in. You understand? Your own prayer can be used by God to sack somebody that you love.
Yes.
Yeah, it can be used, but you wouldn't know. One time, one man prophet, was it Jeremiah or Ezekiel finished prophesying? Somebody beside him dropped and died. He mounted a prostate. Say, Lord, what are you doing? God said, but I told you to prophesy. He said, is that why you are killing people? It was the word of prophecy he gave. He was shocked. So we should be able to agree. Now we're heading for another election. Christians, please. I hope we have learned our lessons. You don't think we have learned? I'm praying, no, that we should learn. And listen, and let me just tell you something. If you put hope in anybody, I still remember the days of NK Abiola. His campaign was Hope 93. Was it 93? It was Hope 93. That was it, Hope 93. The posters were all over the country. My God, that man was popular. SDP. My God, the man was popular. He won the freest and the fairest election Nigeria has ever had, before then and since then. But I remember once I went to church in Lagos, and the choir rendered one beautiful song, and they were talking about Jesus Christ. And they said, Naim be our only hope, oh, no be Abiola. Yes, in the midst of all of that, I think the Lord inspired them to tell Christians that Jesus is the hope. Because that time it was Hope 93, Hope 93. Hope 93 became what? I don't even know what it became. But by the time they finished, the election had been annulled. Then after a boy, the man was in prison and the man died in prison. And you know what happened to Nigeria? We are still here. You know what I'm saying? So, if you think any man is your hope, you have just cursed the man. Yeah, as a Christian, you start putting your hope in a human being. You are placing a curse on the person, and it's not good. You know, God works different ways. So as a church, now we are split. How many parties were in just now? 4. Last time was 4 also. Last time was 4. Last election. How many were there? There were 4. There were also 4. Yeah, there were 4. All of them are still there. Did you notice them? They're small rearrangement, but they are all still there. Have you? Are they not still there?
They're still there.
The point I'm making is that, see, we seem to have 4 now again. Please, let's leave them alone. What did I say?
Let's leave them alone.
Let's come to agreement on certain principles and say to God, do your work. Now, that is not to say when you leave church, you can't campaign for your candidate. Bro, you can wear 2 t-shirts, Seth. Our brother, they give t-shirts. You can even print the one you like. You can, anything one, you see, you can go house to house advocating for your own candidate. And you meet your brother, a member of choir with you, doing the opposite. And you will laugh at him, say, don't worry, we are going to defeat you. You understand? You laugh about it. But both of you will hug each other, say, God bless you. Peace will reign. Justice will reign. Prosperity will come. The man of God, or whether it's a man or a woman, we don't know, but the man of God, the person God will use, will sit on this throne. You can together agree that whoever God has not ordained, who wants to come here for his own good, will not succeed. You can keep repeating those things. Yes. Like they say, who the cap fits, let him wear it. When that spirit enters into the air, he knows how to arrange things. But after we finish saying that, then I will now come down to the second level, which is my political party. I will give them money. I will campaign for them. But I will not rig for them. Because once I start rigging, all my prayer is canceled. I will do everything I can do in righteousness for them. I hope you're getting my point. Please, let me tell the church again. Many people that time, some people came and confessed to me, say, Pastor, let me confess, I didn't listen to you. I say, I know many people did not listen, that's what I mean. There was a time I was so angry with them. You know what I did? I went on Twitter. I wrote, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, I put it out there. I said, all these noises people are making. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, you can't reject the counsel. I don't care who you are. You can't reject the counsel. I magnify my office, so I'm going to say what I want to say. I knew I was speaking the word of God. I didn't have a shadow of doubt in my mind because I wasn't campaigning for anybody. I've been on air before talking. In fact, not even on air, just preaching like this. One of our brothers, when he heard who I voted for, he was shocked. He said, but, okay, you said? I said, what? Tell me what I said. It's just that what I said, when he interpreted it, it fell on one particular candidate who he voted for. This was not even this election of that was Buhari Jonathan's time. All right? Well, yeah, it's quite a while ago. He was surprised who I voted for. I said, what did you think? He said, because I thought you said, I said, what did I say? Quote it for me. What I said, when you heard it, it fitted one man. Except that when you are making choices, you balance many things. And the other things that I was considering, you didn't consider it. That made me vote for the other person. So, as much as we're in agreement on everything, as much as he loved me and I love him very much, we voted for two totally different candidates. Meanwhile, he thought I was voting for his candidate. So, what I'm going to say, so the word, the spirit can go out there, make his own choice. You do whatever you have to do in righteousness. But don't think you have more sense than the person who's voting for somebody else. Because he has his reasons. It may be that he has had a dealing with this fellow before. And my God, this man is kind to a fault. He's thinking, this man is too kind. But you are looking at, his certificate is not correct. The man likes to give bribe. Are you getting my point? It's from a geographical area you don't like. He agrees with you on everything. He said, but I've had a dealing with this man. He's kind to a fault. If God gives him the opportunity, he will do good to everybody in this state or in this nation or maybe your local government area. And so you are surprised that, and you say you're a Christian, and you voted for that man, and that man is not even born again. He said, hey, the one you say is born again, are you aware that he impregnated two girls in his church? And you're not aware. He said, leave that in them. In fact, the day he tells you, you go back there and go and retrieve your vote. If you are allowed. So where I'm going is that don't assume. Now, some people say, Pastor, why do you say that? People do it. You don't know some men do it. They go to church, but what they are doing behind. In fact, there's one man I know of. This guy said when he's in church and he's worshiping God, he will roll on the ground. But the person telling me that he's a murderer. Yes. He says, sir, this guy can kill. He said, but when you see him in church, when he's dancing unto the Lord, dancing unto the Lord, when he's giving to the Lord, he say, oh God, I know him. So don't feel any moral superiority that somebody voted for somebody and you know what the fellow is thinking? You don't know what he's considering. The brother was saying that he was surprised who I voted for that time. I told him what my own consideration was, that it didn't cross your mind. Why? What I was thinking of, he had no dealing in that area. Okay? He had no, for him, it was just about economy, this and that. For me, there were other issues. There was security. There were so many things I looked at. I said, no, Oga, I not trust you. This man that people said is like this, I think I trust him more in this area. Please, we are going towards another election again. Christian, is this not just, whether you are a Nigerian or not, it applies. In fact, good. I'll come back to this. What I want to talk about, it has to do with the creation of hope. The way hope is produced. Or let me use it, the creation of desire. Slightly different from hope, but for a believer, the hope and the desire must be the same thing. Okay? Yeah. You have to learn, all right, to want what God says is good. You see what I say? The society tells you some things are good. And naturally speaking, they can look good. But God teaches what is good. Do you understand? Very important. It's 4 minutes over. At least I took only 3.5 minutes. So let's a day with the Lord is like what? So 15 minutes with me can just be 3 minutes. The Lord is good. All right. So let's get back to what we're trying to discuss. So I want to talk about what? The prayer of faith. I want to talk about the prayer of faith so that we'll understand. Now, notice here, James was emphatic in the fact that this will save or heal the sick. It will raise him up. Said the Lord will raise him up. If he's there because of sins, he will be forgiven. But I want you to bear that in mind. The way James was emphatic, which means if we are not getting our results, maybe we are not praying the prayer of faith. You know, I was saying something about different kinds of prayer. Every type of prayer, if you notice something, I didn't call one a prayer of faith. None of you offered that as a suggestion. And that's because I believe we all understand that if prayer is going to be valid, it has to be of faith. If prayer is not of faith, it is not valid. It hardly qualifies to be called prayer. The way I like to explain it is to go to the opposite side and say, okay, what's a prayer of faith? Let's start with what is not a prayer of faith. Now, looking at whether it is faith or not faith, there are different kinds of prayer. Now, we've already established that there are different types of genuine prayer. Yes, there are different types of prayer that are genuine. And we've agreed. No, these are some examples we give. Prayer of consecration, prayer of thanksgiving, praise and adoration, intercession, supplication and petition, and all of that, okay? Now, if I remember, what now took us off that is the issue of agreement. And I say if something concerns many people, all right, many people, like in a home, husband and wife should try and be in agreement on the matter. And I said that we now went into talking about a nation. Let's pick what we can agree on. We cannot, as a church, agree on the candidate. It's not possible. We cannot, as a church, agree on the political party. It's not possible. But we can agree on certain fundamental principles. Is that okay? Now, all these prayers we've talked about, they are prayers of faith. Whether it's of consecration, intercession, thanksgiving, adoration, and praise, they are all prayers of faith. Now, what is the opposite of a prayer of faith? They are prayers that are not of faith. And it's very simple. The first one is a prayer of show. That's my best example. Because it's so clear in scripture. Say, which one is the prayer of show? What did Jesus say about how Pharisees pray? He said they like to pray in public spaces so they can be seen. So their prayer is for what? It's for show. Their prayer, there are people who go to pray. This is very funny. There are those who go and pray and they are going to spend 3 hours in that prayer. You know why? Because they have to come to church next week and say, I prayed for 3 hours. If you are like that, you've been wasting your time. Because sometimes people sit and pray and say, this man is now, he has entered into a new dimension of prayer. Now he prays for 7 hours at a go. And pastor will put him up there. If I remember I saw one man, they put him up there. How many hours do you do now? He says, it's now 8. So you see, he used to do 5, he has moved up to 8. Where are you hoping to go next? We hope to get to 12. So you see, his dimensions of operation has left 8 hours to 12-hour prayer. I say, okay, if not me, let me even call somebody else. What's his name? Zach Punen. Zach Punen said, if you are praying that much, why are you telling us? Why are you telling us? Then why is it a matter of display? Now, let me tell those who want to know. You are just wasting your time. Once it becomes a matter of display, show off, you are wasting your time. Heard one man preaching once. He went there. They said, whether I can pray for 8 hours. He said, 8 hours. They're just starting. Boys, I've done 12 before. I said, guys, the pride of the flesh, you understand? The flesh has entered this thing. That's why I gave the first example. It's prayer of show. I want to show to people how much I have prayed. Like Zach Kunen said, if really you are praying, don't tell us. It's supposed to be a secret between you and the Lord. It's not something that you come and be showing off to us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what the Lord Jesus said. I hope you are getting my point. Yes, another prayer that is not of faith. Give me another reason why people pray. That's very fun. There's copycat prayer, which doesn't work. Those is when we were in school. I remember when they were teaching us, if you are going to minister, this man, before he goes to preach, you tell somebody's name, he prays for 8 hours. This one, before he goes to preach, he prays for 5 hours. That's why the power moves. Aha. Did not tell you are going to preach. Do I need to tell you what you are going to do? We will go to a corner. And now look back. Now, what were you saying? Of course, we never did that length, and power never moved. So, maybe we couldn't stay there for long enough. Okay? But the point is, what I'm making is that, if you hear that, before that John comes up, do you know why his words are so powerful? He normally spends like 6 hours that night. So they now say, tomorrow you are going to preach. You now stand up for 6 hours and be praying things you don't understand for 6 hours. Now let me tell you, nobody told you before, they encourage you to be wasting your time. The Lord does not listen to you. Because he can see your heart. This guy wants to preach tomorrow. In fact, after you pray for the first one, now you pour a spirit of slumber so heavy on you. So when you are going next day, you'll now be praying, say, dear Lord, please have mercy on me. You know, I fell asleep. I heard the story of one man. I think it really happened. That, you know, he's an evangelist, very powerful evangelist. They used to organize programs, crusades and stuff. So, and he was very powerful. Like I said, he's a very powerful evangelist. So he used to pray for hours before he would go and minister. He would pray for hours. So this particular day, you know, one thing led to another. He found that he didn't have any time to pray. From wherever he was, he had to head straight to the grounds of the program. So I was heading there, was begging the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, normally I would have prayed for like 5 hours, prayed for like 4 hours. But you saw the way he was begging. Say, please, Holy Spirit, move. Dear Father, he said, have mercy on your children. Not, he said, forget me because you love them. Move because you love them. Say, he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, why did you think I was moving before? You think it was because of you? So this person, he has never been about you. Has never been about your long prayers. It has always been about this thing you're talking about, that I love the people. That after that, he became humble. I think God set him up that day for him to understand that, see, it's not this time you are counting that's the issue. I read the scriptures. You know, some most powerful prayers, effective prayers have been said. They've been only one line. Yes, one line. Like God said, you know, Abraham and God, they were speaking. And the Lord spoke and said, look, my covenant will be with this. And Abraham now looked at the Lord. We know what he said. One line. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. I'm going to read it. The Bible says, as for Ishmael, what did they say? I have heard. Many people misinterpret that. They say, he was asking for Ishmael to be the child of the covenant. No. That was not the issue. Because God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard. The request he made of Ishmael, the Lord granted it. Those who understand know that what happened was that he thought Ishmael would die, which is the kind of thing that probably would have happened. He thought Ishmael was going to die when he realized that the covenant was going to pass to a son that was not yet born. So he asked for Ishmael's life. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard. Just one line. One man I like to quote is Amos. When he saw what God was planning, when he saw God preparing fire, when he saw God preparing locusts, you know what he said? Dear Lord, please stop. How will Israel survive? She's so small. That's all. He didn't say more than that. And the Lord said, okay, this will not be. Did you hear that? Just a small statement. Say, dear Lord, please stop. How will Israel survive? And God said, all right, it will not be. I like that testimony I read from Kenneth Hagin. Said he thought that his wife was going to die early. So one day he had a vision. And he asked the Lord, please, I want to ask you something. The Lord said, what? Say, I always have this feeling that my wife is going to die very early. Is it true? I know what? The Lord said to him, yes. Yes. It had been determined that she was going to die pretty early in life. Maybe she'd be in her late 20s, early 30s. She'd be gone. Then he mounted a protest. Now, this is where I'm going. He said, no, Lord, now. Now, let me speak as if I'm the one talking. But this whole talk was a few minutes. He said, Lord, no, please. I like her very much. I don't want her to die. She has been a beautiful partner. And I have her trained for ministry already. He just put, those are the points he gave. I like her. She's been a good person to me. And have her trained for ministry. We get along very well in ministry. I want to start that all over again. So what are you saying? I don't want to die. Please let her live. You know what the Lord said? Okay. Now, it's what he said the Lord said after that drove the thing home. He said, the Lord said, just because you asked me. That's all. Just because you asked me. I hope you're getting my point. He said, just because you asked me. So it didn't take long. When Hannah got her miracle, how long do you think the prayer was? It wasn't long. And Hannah's case, she had just finished eating. Some of us can't pray unless we are hungry. Hannah had just finished eating. Her husband had just finished talking to her, you know, calming her down, and then she rose up to go and pray. And a short while, Eli walked in on her, thinking she was mad, thinking she was drunk. Now, I'm talking about prayer that's not of faith. Many of them, prayer of copy. This is how this man gets results. You can't do exactly what he's doing. See, that's why understanding is very important. Somebody can be in a place of prayer for 2 hours, all right? For reasons you don't understand. You, if you have to enter that same situation, maybe you have to be in prayer for 2 days, 1 week, 1 year. And somebody else will go there, look at it, say, this is not a prayer matter, and you'll get the same results. Yeah, because one of the things that happens is that you are the one changing. You think God is hard to persuade? There's nobody that persuades God on the tenth coming. Somebody came 3 times. What was his name? Moses. What did he get the 3rd time? Don't come back again. He said, don't come back again. Paul came 3 times. God said, forget this. My grace is sufficient for you. He didn't get anything. God is not hard to persuade. Who was there in prayer for 3 weeks? When was he heard? Day one, it was heard. The first day, I don't want to talk about that now, why it took that angel 3 weeks to get there. All right? Of course, we know about the Prince of Persia. We know about that. But the question is that, did the Lord forget about the Prince of Persia? Why did it take Michael 3 weeks? He was busy somewhere else, fighting the Prince of Afghanistan or something. Or he came to the Prince of Nigeria. You don't know. So when he finished with that one, in that case, so many fights to fight. No, that's not the issue. Things like that, they don't work in that realm like that. There are certain, you know, things that had to be said, but let's not talk about that now. But what I want to emphasize is that, when was he heard? The first day. God is not hard to persuade. It's not hard to persuade. The person that changes is you. The longer you stay in the place of prayer, the more you change. There are things God wants to do now. But I can't do them now. Why can't I do it? The Lord is saying, because you that's asking me to do it, if I do it, it will scatter everything in your life. So the longer you stay in the place of prayer, the more I correct you. So each time you come to pray, I rearrange something in your heart. Each time you come to pray, you learn a new thing. Each time you come to pray, there is something that is changed. That's very important. The fact that this matter keeps bringing you back gives me the opportunity to talk to you. Do you know that? Yes, sir. Is the opportunity. There was something Pastor Adeboye said some time ago. He was on a plane. They were going to somewhere in Europe. I think it was London or somewhere. Anyway, when they got the plane, land now. Pilot said, "No, he land." Land now. Said the spare tire didn't come out. I'm just joking. He didn't say spare tire. It's what they call the undercarriage. The tires didn't come out. So they were there working to ensure this plane would work. So 2 hours, it's not 2 minutes, oh, 2 hours. So he was praying. And, you know, some people will say that when they saw that man of God in the plane, they knew the plane would not crash. Some men of God had the problem. You don't know?
Jonah.
You know, that guy was a prophet. When you saw, when I saw Jonah, I knew this ship was not going down. Jonah is a prophet. The man says he's praying. So he prayed to the Lord, thank God for his life, what he has achieved so far for the Lord. Now if it's ready, if it's time for him to go home, you know, but he prayed to the Lord for mercy, and he prayed, when he finished praying, he said the Holy Spirit now spoke to him that it is for your sake that the plane is hanging here. Why? He said, you. Once that plane touches down, no time again. So now let's talk. So he's praying, hearing instructions from heaven, taking notes about his life. Then finally, pilot said, yeah, now we can go down. The Lord said, I'm done with you. You should go down. Yeah. Seriously, the Lord does that. That the Lord told him clearly that you, once you touch down, even me, I can't talk to you again. Kenneth Hagin said he fell, broke his arm, very serious. Go and read in his book. I tell these stories as if I invented them. You guys go and read the books. And his own, you know, because he was a prophet, it may not happen to you like that. And what he says to one, he says to all. So if you take the instructions that he's given to these men for your life, he won't see 99.99% of us will not have this experience like that. You know the reason? Because he had given it to one man. He said, go and write that in a book. Everybody go and read it. Don't wait for your own experience. Do you understand? It might come, but don't wait for it. This was written for everybody. He broke his arm. He said he was in hospital. He said, a chair. Listen to this. He said, my wife just left that chair a few minutes ago. The Lord appeared to him physically, got there, drew the same chair and sat on it and said, we need to talk. Listen to what he said to him. He said, if you did not fall and break your arm, we would not have had this talk. And if we don't have this talk, you will not have lived beyond the age of 55. Did you hear that? He told him, if you didn't fall and it was dislocation, dislocate your elbow, we'll not have had this talk. You think every time God wants to talk to you, you can hear? No. Sometimes he needs to beat you down. Sometimes why you can't hear is because you think you know. There are certain revelations we have discovered, certain keys we have pressed. These elbows, these bones are together. This body can never... Kaloshokopo. God just said one angel, one devil, whichever one. Said, remove that guy's hand from me. You know, when that arm first dislocates, you know, you are shell-shocked into reality. Like, what happened? My arm? Me, man of God? I profess... You know, so that question... Go and read the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Then I said, when you were lying down, your mind turned to what to happen in the future. Sometimes your mind needs to turn to certain place before God can bring revelation concerning that place. Yeah, fact. Sometimes about your life, lie down and think about the future. Now, not worry now. Are you getting my point? Like, okay, so what happens next? Then God said, Now, that won't pant. I'm just giving you an idea. That like, I've been trying to say this for the last 18 months. All the while, you had your plans. 5-year agenda. Which political party you will join? You had the plans. For the first time, there was doubt. I said, Lord, what's going to happen? And suddenly, within 5 minutes, you have new understanding, new revelation, which would not have come if you did not ask that question. And many of us don't ask that question for years. You know why we don't ask it for years? Should I tell you? Because everything is working the way we planned it. You know, what I want to say, is it good or bad? Let me see. But even though the man said it openly, Elder John, remember, last time we were sitting down in that place, you know, me and you sat together, right? Or was it after we were talking? When that big man, that very well-to-do Christian, when he was speaking, he said before the age of 20-something, he'll be a millionaire. No, 20-something. Was it, what age did he say? 25. Say before 25, he'll be, and when Naira was 1 Naira to the dollar, so by that time, he was a billionaire. So by the time he's a particular age, he'll be married. But that time, he was married. As he was talking, I said, Oga, you are older than me, and you are prosper more than me, materially. I said, but this Bible, I know it. You go soon jam. He said, he didn't emphasize that one, but you know he said it. He told himself, by the first year, he will have a son. The Lord closed the womb. So leave that thing. When he said, I burst into laughter. I said, I knew that this thing would do. God, that is no ever. Then I just shut that girl's womb. Why? Because he thought he was young, early 20s. By the time I'm 25, I'll be a millionaire. He was. By the time he's age, I'll be married. And he was prophesying it, and it was coming to pass. As he was prophesying, when he got there, he now gave the explanation. He said, the Lord realized that two babies shouldn't raise a baby. I said, hey, Ogana, now you know. He said, he and his wife, they were babies. I said, of course, we know they were babies. Said, that's not the important thing that God said, hey, the way you are going, you think you can control life. You can't. He had to pause and start praying and start waiting before the Lord finally lifted his hand. God said, hey, wait, oh boy, you don't have control. Many of us, that's the problem. God has to tell us, oh boy, you don't, you know, as people who, I prophesied, as I began to prophesy, I began to see it and I was calling it. Brethren, I passed through that stage too. I prophesied. Many things we prophesied came to pass. If I know one particular lady, she agreed to marry one brother because he could prophesy and the things could come to pass. After they got engaged, I talked to her friend. Later, what happened? Said the girl confessed that all those prophecies were not working. You don't get the point. Maybe bro is broke. So the lady would say, ah, you know, we want to spend money on this and that and that. So the guy would declare and declare and declare. After a few weeks of and months of declaring, nothing was happening. Then the guy can't wake up and say, wait, if you like, say this marriage cannot run on anointing. She gave the guy such a hard time. The guy didn't even tell her she's not marrying again. He just walked away. He didn't even officially break the engagement, though. It just disappeared. And it's not these days of call. They just stopped seeing him. The guy like, I beg, I don't tire. But it's the lady's friend that I talked to that made me laugh. He said, the girl realized that, man, they were prophesying these things. They were not happening. Apparently, her whole life was based on this man. If I marry him, he can prophesy anything out of the heavens. Sometimes it doesn't work like that. Like I said, one reason why many of us don't get to know is that we think we know how to do it. So at the point in time, God will say, okay, you are going about your business. You are so used to the business. The Lord comes and say, okay, set that bush on fire, but don't let it burn. So an angel goes, sets it on fire, and the bush is not burning, but there's a bush there burning. But the leaves are not getting destroyed. So the Bible says, when he saw that Moses turned to investigate, to look, then he spoke from the middle of that bush. You know what that tells me? Many times God wants to tell us something, he can't get our attention. That's what happens. Many times, he can't get the people's attention. He just can't. The one that makes me laugh most is those who go to church. As the pastor is preaching, they are checking whether what he's saying is right or wrong. I went to preach in a place last week. They allow people to ask questions. One day, one lady got up to ask a question at the end of the day. That the things I said, she thinks I was not fair. I started laughing. No, I was laughing. I told the other minister beside me, I said, when I was speaking, that girl wasn't paying attention. This one that said that she doesn't think I was being fair was not even paying attention. Because I know that I just turned around. You know, if it's kingdom word, I will have Jonathan carry her to the next hall. Go and sit down there and be talking. But you see, I was a guest here. I couldn't say anything. Later, I told the girl, I said, this girl was not even paying, this woman, okay, she's not a girl. This woman was not even paying attention. All she had to tell me was that I was not being fair. She knows the kind of good person she is. I told the guy beside me, I said, this is how bad people talk. They're not as good. Many people, all right, that's what happened. God can't get their attention. He can't. They come to church, they can't even concentrate for 5 minutes. That's why sometimes God doesn't answer some questions, some prayers in a hurry. So this young woman is praying about this matter. At least he comes around every day. Like I said, somebody will go there, pray for an hour, the matter is solved. But in your own case, they say, no. God said, continue coming, 6 months. Yet another person will come and say, this is not a prayer matter. The person says, this is not a prayer matter. The fellow has enough understanding. I said, this is not a prayer matter. And God still solves it. I said, no, no, do it this way, do it this way. No, no. That place, close that business, close it. We don't need to continue it. Let's not. He said, look, God has given us a clear sign. We should shut it down. Shut it, let's go. He shuts one place down. God opens 10 more doors. And things blows on. He's like, ah, sir, you were wise. Say, it was not a prayer matter. You should learn to read the signs. Do you get it? But at that point, God said, no, tell the angel, let him keep coming. While he's praying about business, he'll become a better husband. Remember, it's business matter, money matter. The fellow will become a better husband, will become a better neighbor, will become a better son. Ah, the mother realized that this boy didn't used to call me like this. Now he's calling regularly. Send his mother something. Mother's Day, he don't package bouquet of flowers. Package, what they call the hamper. Ah, the mother looked at him. Hey, this boy finally realized he has a mother. God said, don't worry, no problem, cause of. So this problem, I used to hook him for 6 months. Now, answering him is not my problem. But see, these are 7 areas in his life where he needs to make improvement. So each time he comes to sit down, they say, there's this particular man of God. If he comes to town, my God, this thing will break through. He will go there, carry seed. You know what they call seed? He will take seed, you carry, go there. God said, that's a very nice seed. I like that seed. But that's not the issue. Sit down. That man will pray after talking for 1.5 hours. I will preach to you for 1.5 hours on how you treat your neighbors. Plant the seed, nothing will germinate, nothing. Because there was no seed matter. I wanted to hear the word. Then that's it. It will go around like that. At the end of 6 months, even he will not recognize himself. At that time, they now say, there's a way we can move this thing forward. They say, moving forward is not even necessary on this matter alone. I have realized that all flesh is grass. But you were sowing seeds for breakthrough. You say, what are we doing with breakthrough? After all, those who broke through yesterday, they've broken down today. What you need, you'll be the one preaching to you, joy in the Lord, satisfaction in the Holy Spirit, praise God. Normally, 5 o'clock is in the office. This one, 7:30, I'm just waking him up. Okay, you never reach office. He said, I thought about it, it's a vain to rise up early, to go to bed late. If you quote this scripture for you, God said, at last. Now this guy is born again. Finally, open doors for him. By the time the doors open, they're now begging him, sir, see doors of business pass through now. He said, what's all this hustle about? But the people need you, okay, because they need me, let me pass through. Then one day you tell him, now, we're not pushing him, just as an illustration. Then he says, sir, do you know you are a multi-billionaire, counting in naira? He said, where's the money? They showed him. This amount of money? Bring me the checks. He writes checks, disperses all of them. What are we doing with money? That is, now God starts pouring resources his way. But it took God 6 months to achieve that. 6 months to achieve what? Other people got the result of prayer in 5 minutes. Some didn't pray, just looked and said, this is not a prayer matter. And God answered it. So in 1 hour, they were done with praying. Him, 6 months of going around. God says, because this is what it takes to bring this man to the place where I want him to be. I hope you hear that. Let's get back to what we're saying. I was saying that some people copy length of prayer. You know, that's how we got into this. They will not say a lot of things. Some people copy long praying, thinking that's the key. That's not a prayer of faith. So giving a few examples of prayers that are not of faith. One, prayer of show. Copy. Now, have you ever heard this kind of prayer before? If you are God, prove yourself. God said, I'm not in doubt. You've heard it before? Some people say, I challenge God. God said, who told you I came to the ring? Do I look like Anthony Joshua? Do you know? People say, no. I challenge God to prove himself. To prove his word to be true. God said, look at this. Say, you okay? Now, you know the truth that sometimes people get testimonies on those kind of things. And they challenge God. See. Leave this boy. He's not challenged. Leave this girl. He's not challenged as the issue. I just felt sorry for him. He was going to die. You now come and I challenge God. I took my last seed. I planted it and I said, God, if your word is true. God said, if. You know, there was a time they told Jesus Christ, if you can do anything. He said, if I can do anything. You did Yahoo. It's if you can believe.
You see, if I can't do anything. You know, Jesus was embarrassed. Like, if nobody, go and read your scriptures. Nobody came to Jesus with an if and got anything. No, now. Even when he refused, they said, we know you can do it. They called the whole family, block the road. Oga, go help us before he goes. Now, they didn't really call family, but you get what I'm saying, is it? They were desperate. See, the kind of desperation some people used to follow Jesus Christ, they knew he could do it. That woman said, if I may but touch the edge where they hem the cloth, the hem of his garment. Now, the point is that she went, Bible said, through in the press. Everybody was jostling. She was pushing them aside. She just fell. As it was about stretch, touch the edge of the garment, she was healed. that one a small thing for me. You know the one that hooks me, seriously? The people that got to the door, it was full. Can we let us enter? You know what they said to them? You think the rest of us came to sell granite? I better go. You know that kind of thing? We should let you enter. What do you think we came here to do? Finally, the guys looked, they looked. They climbed the roof of the building and dismantled somebody else's house. No, that one, you must be sure that you'll get something. These guys removed somebody's roof and had their rope ready and let their friend in. They said, what are you doing? If we can just get to see the Lord, this boy will be fine. Somebody will now come and say, if you are God. God say, if. Go and see those who are blessed. They were the ones that were reminding me that I'm God. Just in case I forgot. You know, of course, you couldn't forget. They were like, you are the son of God. The only person that was doing if, was not Satan. If you are the son of God. If you are the son of God. If you are the son of God. So people will come to you, if. He said, look at these children of the devil. Please don't go to God and be praying prayer if you are God. If you. Another prayer of unbelief, the prayer of if he is God. That's not a prayer of faith. The prayer that's doubt, that's asking God to prove that he. You know, I personally find some things personally offensive. When people are talking and they are. You know, I don't have arguments on whether there's God, there's no God. Do you get my point? I don't understand. I find it so offensive. I can't get into such arguments. I would rather debate with somebody who says, I don't know what God is like. Or is there one God or there are a million? Do you follow my point? Yes. I can discuss with somebody who says, okay, how do you know Jesus is the only way? Okay, my friend in their house, they worship Obatala. They have a Amadioha there. And it's helping them. Do you know, I can talk with such a person. But if you come and say that, no, I don't believe that's a God. I would just laugh at you. First, I believe you are very dishonest. There's no honest person that says there's no God. The worst an honest person can say is, I don't know. The day I saw one man, a Nobel Prize winner in physics, so he's a very brilliant scientist. By the time you win, in chemistry. By the time you win a Nobel Prize in that area, you know, say, your head is hyper-correct. Is there a Nobel Prize in chemistry? Huh? Chemistry. Anyway, he won a Nobel Prize in the physical sciences, okay? I can see the man's face now, and he's a chemist, all right? He's not a physicist, okay? But he got a Nobel Prize. He was interviewing Dawkins, the celebrated atheistic biologist. And he said to Dawkins, that one said there's no God. So he said to Dawkins that, look, have you considered that maybe there is a God and you don't know where he is or how to contact him, or that maybe everything that we know was created by somebody? By the time he finished speaking, Dawkins said, I am not. Now, listen, this is logic. A Nobel Prize winner is talking to you that didn't get in anything apart from you're just a notorious public speaker. And he's saying that, have you considered this possibility? And you reply that there is no such possibility. You are not ready to open your heart to such a possibility. What was his reason? The man said, why? He said, if anybody will be able to do that, he has to be hyper smart. Please, I like the way many of you shouted, Because it's such a stupid statement. Like this guy, how many people watch God is not dead? That guy said nonsense is still nonsense, even when spoken by experts. Remember that little boy? So he looked at him and said, Oga, nonsense is still nonsense, even when spoken by experts. When this man said it, any shred of respect I had for him disappeared. Because I said, now this is a matter of dishonesty. The other man is not a Christian. He's just there. He said, why didn't you consider this position? I said, no, I can't. So I realized, therefore, that what? This man is pure, is purely dishonest. So when he's talking that, there's no guy, I said, I believe that thing. So I don't talk to dishonest people. Because you know, I know at night, people like you don't sleep. At night, yes, you can't. Your heart will not, in fact, your physical chest will not let you sleep. I know. You whatever it is, maybe you're angry. A lot of atheists are angry with their father. You don't know that? The problem is their father. It's not God. Their earthly father annoyed them so much. And matter of fact, that's how life is. That's the first reflection of God to a child. Yeah, so it's anger. Bless it with prayer. We're talking about prayer. Is that not so? So, there's this prayer of God, prove yourself. God said, no, I don't have time to prove to anybody. If Banky is not even ready to debate with somebody who says there's no God, how much, what will I God be coming to prove what? Sometimes people cry in desperation, I help them. Not because I'm trying to prove anything to anybody. Imagine that I parked my car, you know. You know that new car we bought, that GL550. You know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. We didn't buy any car. Two of us are just deceiving ourselves. Assume I parked it downstairs. And I'm parking. And one young boy, 15 years old, he said, I told the guy, I said, sir, is that your car? I say, yes, say, prove it. You know, I look at him and say, they don't have manners where you come from, Abby. I'll just keep walking. And that's where I'm going. You know, I won't try to. No. There's no need. There's no need. You know why there's no need? The car is mine. The key is in my pocket. When I'm ready to go where I'm going, I will enter it and I will drive it. If he really wants to know the owner, he should stay there if he has nowhere else to go for the day. It might be 9 p.m. before I decide to leave. The opposite of a prayer of faith is those prayers of challenge. You know what the Bible says? He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who actually earnestly, diligently seek him. If you don't think like that, it doesn't have your time. Those are the prayers of what? Not faith. You know, we are talking about the prayer of faith, the opposite of prayer of faith. These are the prayers of unbelief. Now, I always like to go through that to now explain to us what is the prayer of faith. Every kind of prayer I said for Christians is a prayer of faith. That if it's not of faith, then it's not a genuine prayer. So what do we mean when we say it's a prayer of faith? Remember I said one of the things I want to establish for us again is a generation of desire or hope, which for a Christian should go together. First, what is faith? You know, today I was reading the book of Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1. Let me talk about faith for a moment. For a long time, I've been trying to say to people that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 is not the definition of faith to describe what faith is. It's a description of what faith does. I hope you're getting my point. For example now, if I tell you that what is a... what's an example now? If I say, what is water? If you tell me that water is that which you drink and quenches your thirst, think about it. Well, is that the definition of water? No. That only tells you what water does. Yes, you are right as in you can use what it does to extrapolate what water really is. But if you really want to define water, you have to go to the physical and the chemical side of it. Do you understand? Yeah, that's how you define it. You have to know that water is a liquid, a clear liquid at room temperature. Which, now let's get a bit more technical. It freezes at 0 degrees
boils at 100 degrees centigrade under standard temperature and pressure. Now, what I've told you now, nothing else qualifies for that on this earth. That is water. It's clear, it's transparent, it's liquid at room temperature. You go to 100 degrees, it will boil. Zero, it will freeze. But there are many things it does. Because if you define it by the fact that it quenches your thirst, that's not the only thing it does. When you want to have a bath, do you use chlorine? I mean, like, which other liquid is commonly available? Anyway, you don't use any other liquid. What do you use to have your bath? It's water. When you want to wash your clothes, it's water. It's another thing it does. Use it to wash your clothes. Use it to cook. You do many things. Use it to dissolve. There are so many things you do with water. But what is water itself? It's a different matter. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 11. I realized that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 actually speaks to us as to what faith does. Do you know, only for me to read it? It's good to read many versions of the Bible. I read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 in New Living Translation. Open to it. Are you there? Someone read it for me. No, New Living Translation. You know, they have different, these days, just more gist. These days, Bible, they update like software now. Yeah, like app. Yeah, they update and they don't change the name. Before, those days when we're still doing the old time religion, they don't change the words in any Bible. They release another version. But now, NASB that I use standardly, they have like, how many versions are there? Is it three or four? Three. There's 77, first one 77, then the 95, then 2022. Is it 2020 or 2022? Anyway, 20s. Actually, they don't have 2026 already. And so, at least I've encountered that thing with New Living Translation and NIV. You are reading another one. It depends on the year. So I don't even know the one I have. Baba, with your Ibadan filler. This was what this madam just read for us. Okay, read your own. Yes. Good, thank you. That's the one I have. I don't know which year your own is. Is your own an old one or a new one? The new one. So these two people are reading old ones. Once you see his cap, you should know that that one, he brought it from Ibadan. He has not updated to the Rangers International version. Is that what? 2015? Okay. Anyway, what I want to bring, I saw this one there. Kai, I was pretty surprised. I never noticed it before. It said, faith shows the reality of things we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. That's the description of what it does. It said, it shows the reality. Bear that in mind. So you have to find out again what really is faith. Now, if you want to know what faith is, you read through that whole chapter and you discover something. Everybody that they say had faith heard the word from above. In fact, it was when I saw this, it was here I now realized that Moses must have been visited by an angel to leave Egypt. Because he said, by faith, Moses left Egypt. Not because he was afraid of the wrath of Pharaoh. You know what? I did not even know that certain writings already contained it, that actually that's why Moses left. It was here I read it. When I understood faith, faith simply means, now, I'm going to give you the meaning of faith in three levels. All of them saying about the same thing. All right? Faith simply means somebody has heard from heaven. The word of God has been revealed to an individual. That's what faith means. Faith means, as I said, I'm giving you three levels, right? Okay. There's another level in which there is a spiritual substance that God imparts into you that helps you take his word as real. It's important. Because that's what the Bible calls the spirit of faith. If you don't have that spirit, even though the word's revealed to you, you still won't agree with it. Are you getting my point? Then faith is also the set of actions somebody takes, or the kind of mindset somebody has because of what he has heard God say. That's what faith is. First, it's a revelation of God to somebody. So when you say, by faith, Moses did this, it means God communicated his will to Moses. But the spirit of faith is necessary for Moses to agree to do what the Lord is saying. But you see, when God reveals his word to you, it becomes, what he says to you becomes the evidence of things that you are expecting. So when you say to Abraham, why did you change your name from Abram to Abraham? He said, because I'm going to be a father of many nations. What's the evidence? Give me evidence. God said. He has nothing else to show you. All he has to tell you is what? God said. That's how come faith, it becomes the evidence of things that somebody is expecting. All right? Okay, like I said, it shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we can't see. Now listen, including things that are past, including things that are present but invisible, and the things that are in the future we can't see is what the Bible calls hope. So the things that are present and invisible, and things that have happened and are past, are the things it calls not seen. I'll give a simple example. How did this earth come into existence? Answer me. Eh? Through whose word? Elder John's word?
God's word.
God's word. So, no, give me, which word was that? No, just tell me. No, there's no catch. Which word? Give me the word. God said. All right. So, okay. So let that be as an example. Let me ask you a question. Very simple question. Were you there?
No.
How do you know? Because he said so. He said so. So it becomes what? The evidence of things not seen. You were not there. It has happened. But you are defending it. Why? That's what the Lord says. That's what the prophetic word in your holy scriptures, that's what they say. So why do you take that? People say that, are you sure? Anybody questioning it does not have that spirit of faith. Can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you, because you have the spirit of faith, you take the word as final. So the fellow, anyone taking that word as final is the one that has faith. So what is faith? Taking the word of God as final. That is the evidence of things not seen. If I say to you, now you are sitting down here on this cheap seat. It's a cheap chair, isn't it? You're not sure, but you like it. You know what he said? He said it has lasted. But I now say to you that you are seated actually with Christ Jesus in heavenly places on the right hand of the Father, far above principalities and powers. If you don't have the spirit of faith, what do you say? What are you talking about? How can I be sitting in two places at the same time? Am I a quantum particle? Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
But if you have the spirit of faith, it's something that is not seen. What will you say? Amen. Praise God. You wave your hands. Hallelujah. I'm seated in heavenly places. So next time they tell you that the witches are worrying you, you start laughing. Can they climb? No, they can't fly that high. Are they out of their mind? Do they want to die? You just start talking. Why are you so confident? The word says, I'm seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, on the right hand of the Father, far above principalities and powers, and every name that is named. Say, leave that thing. We are sitting in the high place. And somebody who doesn't have your faith is angry with your confidence, except that he can't sleep, but you can sleep. You wake up in the morning. You slept throughout the night. Did you hear the witches flying? Which witches? I'm sitting. He gets angry. Why are you so confident? Because, what's my answer? The Lord says so. Faith becomes what? The evidence of the things that you can't see. Can you see that? If you go, please go and read my tract. I think this is faith. I explained something there. That faith must have both sides for it to be genuine. There must be something that you are expecting. Now, these things not seen. So, Jesus died on the cross. You know what? You were not born that time. Were you born? Had your father married your mother? He said, oh God, were they even born? Nobody for the last 10 generations on your side had been born. Yeah, you're telling me it happened. And let me tell you, Jesus expects you to believe that and believe it well. When Thomas did not believe something, he was angry with Thomas. He now placed a blessing upon you. He said, blessed are those who will believe without seeing. Why did they believe? The word of God says so. That's what faith is. But based on that, you must have expectation. Faith does not only give you the reality of things that are and you can't see, or things that happened in the past and you did not personally witness, but you are living by now. But it must also, because of that, give you expectation. For example, there's one expectation we all have. That one, may I have it well. If I die now, I will rise again.
Hallelujah.
It's a matter of time. One day, this mortality will be swallowed by immortality. This is when I preach, I'm recruiting people who will live with Jesus Christ in the new heavens and the new earth is created. I expect something. Do you know if anything is wrong with me physically now? Maybe I'm ill. Part of body is aching for long and all of that. Brethren, I have this unquenchable belief that I will get well. Yeah. Sometimes maybe I have some mild things that have happened to me. The last, in fact, I still remember very well when this finger was aching me. Let me say, it was so bad, I can be stubborn sometimes. I don't know whether I ever took any painkiller, but it was really bad. It will keep me awake at night. I will bandage it to sleep. And I can't remember whether it's even the left or right now. Now, I'm not joking. Do you know, I don't know which one of the two. Do you remember which one? Obina says the left. I think it's the right. Well, yeah, that... Okay, is it left? Okay, you know, I was going to say it's right. Okay, they heard me talk about it. I think it's left. That's how gone it is. It was bad enough for me to bandage it sometime to sleep. I will pray over it. But you know one thing? I just have this, you know, they talk about nagging feeling, right? Uh-huh. My own, I don't know how to use nagging feeling for that. That it will go, say, I feel like telling whatever spirit is worrying me, say, you know, you are the one that will get tired, not me. That you are the one that will get tired though. You are the one that will get tired. I kept on praying. I said, there is a solution. You see, if I'm feeling unwell and doctor says there's nothing he can do, I said, okay, either I will get well without you or you will find out what you can do. But that I will not get well, that's not an option. I told you before, all right, that these days, I deliberately, almost daily, I read testimonies of divine health. I do that deliberately. Especially because I have a natural training. All right? I learned anatomy. Yeah, I did. Many of you don't believe. When I say this, some of you are looking at me funny like, this is my issue, you went to medical school. I actually did. I actually specialized. And I know so much about diseases because, not because I'm too intelligent, because that's how the training goes. The area I specialized in. If I laughed at, honestly, I laugh at some of my colleagues. When they say something, I say, well, relax. That thing you say is not true. Say, hey, what do you mean it's not true? I'll explain it to them. Because they are trained more to diagnose it and treat it. Me, I don't know how to treat it, but I can tell you how it came to be. Who's the grandfather of this disease? Who's the grandmother? How did they arrange and arrive here? So it's always interesting to me when somebody gets healed. All of a sudden, I know what God must have moved. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Hi. Do you understand? I know what God must have moved. In many of the, when I read some of those testimonies, like, you mean God did this? And I like to keep reading them. Yeah. I read them every day. I just like to persuade myself. Because there's scripture for it too. But the spirit of God is of faith is working for me to know that. See these genes, they don't have a mind of their own. Mm-hmm. Listen to me, genes are spiritually controlled. They don't have a mind of their own. You know, science makes us look like gene talks by itself and makes up its mind. No, there are times God will say, "Shh," the gene goes silent. There are times God will just say, "Hey, you, gene, come, wake up." In fact, there's one I read recently, I've forgotten the name. I read this a few months ago. You will see a white man and his white wife give birth to a set of twins. One is white, one is black. I said, what?
And they showed pictures. Like, where did this come from? They now, hey, I've forgotten the name. If you can check, they have a particular scientific name for it. That the gene has been lying dormant for generations. You now find that one ancestor, 10 generations ago, was actually black. All this while, in gene, just keep quiet. Now I want the gang. He just showed himself. But there's a particular guy, his own, he's so bad that his own is not a twin, he's just a single person. To persuade them that both of his parents are pure white, to persuade people is almost impossible. In fact, he just gave up. He just gave up. He's not jet black, you understand? But you can see black features, curly hair, dark skin, and everything. When you see the picture of his father and his mother, you will wonder what happened here. What happened here? They've done everything, checked everything. This is the father. This is the mother. They now start trading family tree. Now discover that in 1482, the grandfather married one slave girl. That's what they now start discovering. Say, eh? And all this, the last 200 years, he didn't show up. Do you know how I know genes are controlled by spirits? It's because of the Bible. By faith, I found out that one day, Brother Laban, the uncle to Jacob, said, I will finish this boy. He no go believe himself. So what will your wages be? Any animal that is dark, that is black, or spotted, or striped, will be mine. If they are plain white, that as they are being born, if you go and check it, as they are being born, they are yours. Laban said, okay. No, that's not a problem. He signed the agreement. Then woke his boys up at night. Go and collect any animal that has a speck of black in it, that has a spot, that has any pattern. Remove them. They move them several days' journey away from. Because sometimes, some of the genes, maybe they can inhale it. He said, no, let them not even smell each other. They move them very far away. My people. Jacob said, no problem. You know why? The angel of the Lord had appeared to him and told him, don't worry, we control these things. Now we the run now. We control these things. Don't worry about it. What do I need to do? He said, which pattern do you like? You like batik or adire? Or you want your paint time anyhow? He said, any pattern you like, draw it for me. Now select the animals you want. You want the ones that when they bleed, say that one. Other ones that are bleeding, you don't know whether na cat or na sheep. He said, I don't want that one. And this man would put those things there. And what were we seeing? They were giving birth. And these animals had spots. And these animals had patterns. Laban is wondering, what is going on here? The angel said, see, I told you guys. We run these genes. These genes don't have a mind of their own. We tell them when to wake up and when to sleep. And sometimes if they are not there, we create new ones. You guys talk about mutation. It's not change. I change it to anyone I like now. Do you know, there are diseases, eh? Diseases now, look on the negative side. There are 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 of them are caused by new mutations. They didn't exist before. There are. Some of them higher than that. So genes are still changing every day. Who says that God cannot repair genes? Now, anything human beings can think of, the Bible says God is able to do what you can ask or imagine. God can do exceedingly, 3 words. Is it 3 or 4? Exceedingly, far, above. Thank you. Exceedingly, abundantly, far above. 4 qualifying words, adjectives there. To describe what God can do compared to what human beings can do. Yet human beings are still doing what they call CRISPR gene editing. Yeah, go and Google it. It's spelled CRISPR, just C-R-I-S-P. There's nothing in between, an R. Gene editing. Human beings are still doing it. So if they can think of it and do it, that means God started doing it in the time of Jacob. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the reason why, no matter what the disease might be, I expect to get well. Yeah. Give any explanation.
I go well. I tell the devil, say, now you go tired. But me, I go well. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Say, Satan, now you go tired. But me, I must well now. I must well. Because there's nothing that's too hard for him to do. He said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there? Brent, that's what faith is. I'm talking about what faith is. It's called the spirit of faith. That suddenly you see that he said it and you relax. You know, you hear me talk a lot of times. When they say, come to Enugu, I didn't have any problem because... You know what started all of it? It is not as if I did not like to have a comfortable like everybody else. I do. I like to have comfortable life, comfortable car, comfortable house, comfortable everything. But I read my Bible one day. He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I heard a number of things. The first thing I heard was that, oh boy, it will flow towards you. So I realized that God said, I must never see you flow towards it. Did you catch that?
Yes.
I heard that he can do it. I heard that he will do it. But what I heard, most importantly, is, Banky, let me not see you flow towards it. The order I have set for you is that you continue going where I want you to go. I will cause it to flow towards it. I heard another thing. I will cause, not you will engineer. Not you will manipulate people. Not too long ago, I realized that he wasn't speaking to me alone. He was speaking to everything I do. That is why you've never heard me in Kingdom World ever beg for money. Raise money. For Kingdom World ministries, God forbid. It's not about desire or what. No, it is that I will cause. Thank you. Don't interfere with my job. When I see pastors invite people to come and raise money, I say, in a trial. You people are bold, you know. I can't. Forget whether it's evil or right or not. That's not the issue. It's that I can't. That is, the Lord said, don't interfere with my own side of the job. I will cause. I will provoke. God said, don't let me see you run up and down. I said, there was a time. You know, pay, review, this and that. And after a long time, long talk, so somebody said, maybe you go to Soka. I said, who? Go where? I said, go where? I said, so the Lord will see me on the road. And I said, what are you doing here? You know, you remember that issue now? I said, I beg. I said, if it, you know, after we send that letter up, and I said, I beg, leave it. I said, Dr. Fakwemi gave us a testimony when I was in Sokoto. He said that he went for an interview. He said, how much would you like to earn? He told them anything. Say anything. They looked at him and said, how can you say anything? They just mentioned one ridiculous figure. He said, I will take it. This guy, are you serious? He said, look, you guys understand something. He said, what I plan to offer you, you can't pay for it. So whatever you have, let me have it. He said, three times it happened to him that he would have worked in a place for a long time. Then somebody would call him and say, sorry, you have been underpaid all this while. He said, is that so? They will pay my arrears in one day. He said, I was teaching. Because after I left them, when he started his teaching ministry, he took a job part-time in the teaching hospital there, teaching preclinical students. He had worked for, is it a year or two, or a year and a half. One day somebody, a Muslim, who didn't, you know, this is in the north, not a doctor, not his friend, just looked at him and said, doc, is this your pay slip? He said, yes, what is wrong with it? He said, this is what you have been paid. He said, that's why I say I'm. He said, no, it's not correct. He said, because of your qualification, you're entitled to this, and that. We are very sorry. We need to correct it. Everything they were entitled, he was entitled to was like what they had been paying him put together. That is, when you put that one together, it's as much as what they had been paying him. And they paid him like 18 months arrears in one day. He said, three times something like that happened to him. One of that one, he had left the place. They called him and said, we are owing you money. He said, how come you are owing me money? When you were here, we made a mistake. This is how much you're supposed to be earning. We didn't pay you complete. Please come and collect the balance of your money. Are you following what I'm saying? That faith does not always only tell us about things that happened in the past or things that are not tangible, that we can't physically feel. It creates expectation in our lives. It starts shaping how you move, how you walk. So, when it was time to move those days, I said, hey, you are going to Enugu. I said, why won't I go to Enugu? What you are afraid of, I'm not. You see, finding out the will of God is not as hard as we think. Just get rid of all the obstructions. They say, you know the way Nigeria is. You have to stay amongst your people. I found that thing very funny. I found it very funny because my father's friend retired from Enugu here. He used to live in GRA here, and nothing happened to him. When the year of relocating to his hometown, they killed him. His own people. And the day they killed the man, they were not planning to kill only him. They wanted to kill everybody in his house. They killed his guard. Killed everybody there. They said the man is too powerful. That is, you know what I mean by powerful? Those kind of spiritual powers. So they couldn't kill him. So they locked him inside and burned the house on him. Yes. And his wife. And the only one of his children that survived. You know what happened to them? The girl, one of them anyway, yeah, the girl, was going to school, back to school. So the brother took the car to go and drop her at the motor park. So two of them were not at home when the mob arrived. Some people were telling me, I said, the man happened to have lived in Enugu while I knew him. He retired from here. They moved back home. So I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm the wrong person to give that as an example. And you know the interesting part? One man that came to town and he was advising me, he was advising me how not to be, just taking. He now told me a story. You know, maybe I respect people too much, that because it was my senior, I couldn't tell his other guy. Did you listen to yourself? Your story just contradicted you. He told me the story of during the civil war in Nigeria, and that there were some Igbo men that were his father's tenants in some, let me not mention the name of the place. Anyway, we're from the same state at home. That do I know that his father had to lock them inside the house for 3 years? They couldn't go out. That his father was the one feeding them, taking care of them, because they were not sure of the mood outside. And everybody had run that time. So this one is no go. So his father called him and said, what are we going to do? So he kept them inside the house. Nobody in the neighborhood knew they were there. And the man fed them for 3 years. So I said, sir, you've just described to me the favor of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They didn't do them anything. Nobody came to kill them. There was war going on. You felt, all of you felt they may not be safe. And you took, your father took care of them. They are his tenants, right? They were not doing business for those 3 years. So their parents, they were not earning money, but they ate. So I looked at him and I said, God, which kind of advice are you giving me now? You just argued against yourself. God surrounded them with favor. Who told you his favor has expired? I said, God, I believe that. I said to all of them, I said, oh boy, was Joseph an Egyptian? I said, please leave me. Let me go and obey God. You know what the Bible says? He surrounds the righteous with favor as with a shield. There is a shield around them. You know, there are things you do. God says, you have rejected my favor as your shield. Yeah. What is faith? God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. That's what faith is. So, let me begin to close. What is a prayer of faith? A prayer of faith is the one that is prayed because God says something. Do you get my point? Yeah, because God said something. Let me give an example. If we begin to pray here, which we often do, and say, let us pray that God will send laborers into his harvest field. It's a prayer of faith. You know why? It was not your idea. It was not my idea. Whose idea was it? The Lord Jesus Christ said it. Entreat the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his own harvest field. So we know a number of things there. It is the will of God. Number two is a command of the Lord that we should pray that prayer. You know, some things are suggestions, some things are instructions. When they say entreat the Lord of the harvest, it's a job. It's a job. So you must, even whether you feel like it or not, don't spend all the time praying about your need. One thing you must do is what? Entreat the Lord of the harvest. It's an assignment. Why am I praying it? The Lord commanded it. Number two is his will. Apart from that, he commanded, I know it's something he wants to do. And number three, we know he will do it. So when there's a lot of work to do, one of the things we do is, Father God, send help. Send help. Send people that will help us. Kick people. You know, literally they said, what's the Greek word again? Jonah, you should know the Greek word. Now they toss Greek word once in a while to harass the rest of us that didn't study our Greek. Okay. At this one, I know it. Should I tell you? It's called anakazo. It means to push out, to thrust forward, to propel, to impel. Hallelujah. That even if they don't want to go, God will push them. Say, so pray the Lord of the harvest, entreat the Lord to push out his laborers into his harvest field. If I pray that prayer, brethren, it's a prayer of faith. John said, you see anybody, brother, committing a sin that's not unto death? Say, so you will ask the Lord, and he will give life. All right? Because you ask for the one that's committing a sin that's not unto death. What does that mean? We have been commanded to uphold one another, even in the midst of our faults. If you find a brother, a sister that's doing something that's not unto death, then you pray that God will help the person. Now, we'll talk about what is unto death another time, okay? But most important, let me just drop it. Some people may be curious. What's important is that when you pray for the person, judgment is suspended, person has life, you're now bound. Either you have the power or you're part of your prayer to go and have the person corrected. As the person says, I know they hear correction, say, don't utter another word of prayer. Forget it. Go away. That's what it means. But let's just sit on the other side. So we see what? A prayer according to the will of God. We are praying because he says something. That's a prayer of faith. Are you getting my point? If he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and you see lack in your life, and you go and say, Heavenly Father God, you said you are my shepherd and I will not want. That's a prayer of faith. You know what I found out? Every time in this life, God wants somebody to be healed. I told you, I keep on reading it. You know, God wants somebody healed. He wants somebody healed. If he didn't want it, what I've seen him write all over the scriptures, it was paramount to him. When he wanted to describe Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing, how many? How many? How many? Our time is gone. Let's bow down our heads. Somebody listening to me should claim healing because it's the will of God. It's a prayer of faith. It is a prayer of faith. He said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? It's a prayer of faith. Ask God for health. Look at where we began from. Is there any sick amongst you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. He said, a prayer offered in faith. We've described what faith is now. We save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. In the name of Jesus, I pray for somebody who is sick right now. I join my faith with yours. Be raised up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said, be raised up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive full strength in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what be the cause of the disease, we've seen it now. Whether it's genes, God says, look, we control these things. Whether it's something you ate, none of these things shall by any means hurt you. It's the word of the Lord. Just look at that serpent on the cross. That serpent on the standard, on the pole. Which for us is the word of God. Jesus Christ, the word of God. Himself took your infirmities and your diseases. By his stripes, you have been healed. Let's just give it all thanks. Father God, we thank you. Just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you.